Jen.
Hey, Jeffrey.
You know, I was on iTunes yesterday, and I'm pissed.
Why are you pissed?
They deleted some of our stuff because it's, quote, too old.
It's because we produce so many episodes. Oh. They only keep a certain amount. I don't know what that amount is.
So here's the deal.
Yeah.
I talked to Doug, I talked to Nada, and we are going to get some of those episodes back because they were classic.
Love it.
And we're going to set them out again so that our diehards can take advantage of that wisdom that seemingly is off the air, but it's not.
Well, let's do it right now, like with this episode.
Cool. Let's
go. All right. Take a listen.
I remember when I started out in my sales career, it took me so long to get to just being a good salesperson. But when you get to good, what do you do next? You get better in order to be the best. I have the perfect roadmap to get you from where you are to best, and it's called Good, Better, Best. Learn the 6 elements to mastering the secret of personal achievement and why you should shift your focus from making money to being the best in the world at what you do. Don't settle for being good. Don't even settle for getting better. Be the best with my free ebook. The link is in the show notes. You know that thing about the blind squirrel?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was a blind squirrel. I think it was a squirrel that had bad vision.
There you go.
And if you can get that squirrel to wear glasses and change his focus and change his direction, you will have a squirrel that can find a bunch of nuts. Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. Welcome to Sell or Die, the world's premier sales-oriented, sales helping you make more sales podcast, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute.
And today we're going to be talking to Michael Padone, who is arguably one of the best phone guys on the planet, salesbuzz.com, just an amazing guy, full of information, moved obviously from the north all the way to the south, not the real south, he lives in Tampa. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but before we get into the interview, Jeffrey, it's time for another shout out. And this one is from John.
Okay, cool.
All right. John writes, I guess he wrote this one to you. I listen to you and Jen every week on Sell or Die. And Sell or Die has become my favorite podcast to listen to when commuting to the office and my customers. Your podcast is by far the best business podcast available. Keep up the tremendous work.
John is obviously an excellent judge of character and people and content, which we applaud here at Sell or Die.
John, you rock.
He will be getting a very special gift from us. We're not going to disclose what it is.
That's right. All he needs to do, John, these reviews are amazing. And guys, we love receiving fan mail and email from you. If you could please post your review on iTunes, that helps us get found. That helps us keep providing this information to you every week. So post it on iTunes, screenshot it, email it to us, and we will send you a very amazing gift.
The 5-star reviews help us get found by the Great Apple and the Big Apple or the Behemoth Apple. And it will help other people find us and give them our information. We have a major self-aggrandizing announcement today. Ooh. This is a big thing.
Yes.
You want to start,
well,
Jen?
Yeah. I'm excited. We're announcing the start of a Sell or Die network. It's a podcast network that we've created. It's made up of like-minded, business-oriented, creative, compelling podcasts that'll help you learn more and earn more.
I'm curious to meet like-minded people like us. I don't know what the hell they're consisted of. But if you have a podcast and you want more subscribers or you want to start a podcast and become part of the Sell or Die network, all you have to do is email sellordie@gittimer.com. Do it today. We'll get you more information today.
Podcasting is the new black. It's a new way for business people everywhere, entrepreneurs, salespeople, to get better and to get their message out to the world. We want you to join us as we create the foremost business and personal development podcast network.
on the planet.
Sell or Die Network.
So, Jen.
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
I am loving the public seminars you've been doing, Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag Gittimer is back. Those are pretty awesome.
I agree. But that's only because it's me. We're doing one that we've actually committed. We now have a full-time person who is going to be booking them. And
yeah,
and
a lot of people have been emailing like, when are you coming to my town?
Yeah.
Are you? Okay, that'll be coming out soon, guys. So just stay tuned. I promise we will promote that information everywhere.
We will be in Chicago this year, Atlanta, Dallas, and Philadelphia, home of the world champion Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, we went like two episodes without mentioning the Eagles.
It is what it is. It's only because LeBron lost.
Man.
Otherwise, I would have been mentioning them. But Jen,
yes,
I want to make sure that the audience is aware of the fact that the economy is up and their sales are probably up, and they may erroneously think that they had something to do with it.
Mm.
Now is the time to milk the cow that is in your backyard.
You know what's interesting? If the economy is down and
everyone's
sales
bitching.
Are down, salespeople have nothing to do with the fact that sales are down, right? They're blaming everyone else.
Right. Like, so when your sales are up, it might be also the economy that created the same one where your sales are down. So what you have to do right now is go out and capture new people, capture more business from existing customers, capture more referrals, capture more testimonials, capture business. It is out there to be had. Markets at an all-time high, economies at an all-time confidence level. Business is going to be had, and your job is to go get it. And speaking of go getting it, we actually have a guy that's going to help you go get it.
That's right.
Because the phone is the most difficult part of this whole process. And Michael Padone is a guy who has built a career based on how to get more people to say yes to you on the phone, how to get more people to get to the decision maker on the phone. I think that's an important part of this whole process. So if you guys don't mind, I think we should get into this right now.
Let's do it.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Michael Padone.
Listen, the street commission sales reps are a dying breed these days. You got a lot of people that want that security, that safety net there. And you know what? It's really going to boil down to a couple things. One, it's going to boil down to the sales cycle, right? I mean, a straight commission doesn't make sense if it's going to take a long sales cycle. But if the common sales cycle is, 30 days or less, or maybe 2 months or less, and depending on the commission size, then just sharpen your sales skills and get at it, because that's where the money is.
I think, though, that you have to look at a combination of where is the money and what do you love to do? Because if you love to do it, I think you're going to have an easier time dealing with the frustrations of it, because every sale has its kind of frustrations. I read your Sales Buzz letter, and oftentimes it deals with the frustration of not being able to get through, not making enough calls, not doing the right thing. There's a lot of knots in there. And part of that is people just don't love what they do.
If you don't love what you do, you need to get out. I don't care what it is. That's the first thing. But the thing is this: if you don't love what you do because you're not being successful, that's a different conversation that we need to have. A lot of times, and the reason why those newsletters, the reason why I write that is, one, those are questions that people send me, but it's also things that I used to deal with a lot when I was, when I first got started in sales, which I'm still a straight commission sales rep. I've been for 25 years, but when I first got into sales, I was running into all these problems. And the old way of doing it is, well, if they say this, you say that, and have a rebuttal. And the problem is, a lot of times you could avoid the objection by just dealing with it ahead of time. But most salespeople don't know how to do that. They don't know how to ask questions ahead of time to avoid those things.
What are some of the biggest things you see go wrong in outbound communication these days?
Well, the biggest thing is they get lazy and they read a book that says you can send a bunch of emails and make quota.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Why do you even want to make a quota? I want to make a fortune. Quota
exactly.
Doesn't have fortune at the end of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. Yeah. So, but to answer that question is one of the biggest problems is their expectations. Listen, everybody wants an easy button. I get that. right? You want an easy button, you want to make a sale, but you're going to, if you're going to have to hit an easy button, it's still not going to be as easy as it's been out there. And you're going to have to do the work, but you have to improve the skill level. Sales isn't, listen, sales, there's a science to it, but it's not rocket science. You get a couple of basic steps down and then you just turn up your output and you're going to make a ton of cash.
Let's back up a little bit. Where did you grow up?
Oh man, I just answered this offline.
I just asked him that before you got here.
Everywhere, Jeff. Everywhere. So I was originally from the Westchester, White Plains, New York area.
That was hard to tell. I couldn't tell that because of your manner of speaking and also your use of hands and arms.
Yeah, well, that's the Italian in me, right?
Right.
So I grew up there. I was born there a little bit. Parents got divorced. Yeah, I went to Arizona in the 80s, which, you know, back in the hair metal days was the best, being out there with all the rock bands and everything. Mm-hmm. That was, I got a good story for you guys, who I had my first beer with, if we have time, when I was a kid out there.
Sure.
Don't leave us hanging.
Come on, who was it?
Come on.
All right. So listen, I grew up wanting to be a rock star. Right. So, I mean, that was when I heard Back in Black, you know, that album when I was a kid, that's all I want to do. And I would practice. Went to Arizona to grow up, like I said, in the 80s. I started a band. I was 14. It was labeled Phoenix's youngest heavy metal band. And we got into a nightclub. It was called Rockers. I don't think it's there anymore. And they had Rob Halford of Judas Priest come in, which was AC/DC and Priest are my biggest bands. And we got a chance to meet him and hang out with him. I was 14, and I had my first beer with him. We ordered pitchers of beer, and we just started chugging, man.
That's totally
awesome.
Cool.
That's awesome. I love that.
That's totally cool. Most people can remember their first time for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Today, when I was training the baseball team, sales team, I told them to ask their customer, tell me about the first game you went to with your dad.
Mm. And, nice.
Oh, it's so emotional. It's not even funny. But anyway, you're damn good at what you do. You're still a rocker. You're just rocking in sales instead of on a platform.
That is true.
It requires much less drugs, and and you're in Tampa.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny you mention that because we did last time I went out to. Inside Sales invited me out to do a thing for them at Dreamforce that's out there in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I went out there and it was great and we're having a good time and I'm walking through the place and word got out that I was there and people started coming up and getting selfies with me and everything.
Oh, cool.
And so then she's like, oh, great. His head's going to be even bigger than it already is.
Cool. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Listen, if you're good at what you do, listen, I have a very deep passion to help people who are selling. I know exactly what it feels like to have the phone feel like a 25-pound weight and you just can't pick it up anymore.
And the next guy just hung up on you.
Yeah. And especially, you know, back then, you know, I was going through recycling. The funny thing is this, one of my first straight commission sales jobs, we were selling computer diagnostics to computer repair tech shops. And we didn't even have computers ourselves. We had what we called white sheets. So these were names and numbers of companies on a piece of 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, 5 to a column, 2 columns, and they were just on the table over there, the little, you know, card table stacked this thick. And you come in, you grab your leads, you start going down the list. They've been called 100 times, and we're probably one of the reasons why the do not call list was invented.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
That's funny. I love that.
Yeah. So, but that's where I cut my teeth, you know, and everybody around me, you know, I mean, they would, I was in a room of like 80 sales reps just pounding the phones. I mean, it's just like right out of the movie Boiler Room, fabulous movie, by the way. Right. But it was just right out of that scene, and they would hire, you know, 10 people a week because people would just quit all the time. They couldn't hack it. And you had this small group of reps that were constantly, when you look on the board year after year, it was the same 4 or 5 reps in the top all the time. And the other 75 was just constant turnover. You had a small group that would stay there, but they would really never amount to anything. And those are the ones that wanted to always give you advice as well. And, you know, when I started struggling, I just went to the people that were always being successful. And I wanted them to mentor me. I wanted to come in early. I wanted to stay late. I wanted to pick their brain. And then I just started formulating my own process. And then away we went. And the next thing you know, that year I won Rookie of the Year. And then I was number 4 in the company the next year. And
there it just kept, you know, just kept. What kept were some of your secrets to success?
One of them was being from Westchester County. Come on.
Well, one of them, you have to map the process out. Sales is a lot easier when you realize that there's a roadmap. And this is really what I teach at the core of my. A lot of times I will talk to, I have some mentors that I'll have with and we meet with, and I'm like, I can't believe there's salespeople that'll come to my class. They're saying they're 15, 20 years experience and they don't know the basics. Nobody's just ever showed them. And then when I teach them, look, it's I don't care what industry you're in, the sales process, especially if you're selling outbound, whether you're setting appointments or whether you're for yourself or for somebody else, or whether you handle the sale A to Z, there's a structure. And if you just follow that process, it takes away call reluctance. When I teach you what the process is, you're not afraid to pick up the phone anymore. Because I'm going to teach you, listen, three things are going to happen when you pick up the phone, right? You're going to get gatekeeper, voicemail, or prospect. If I teach you ahead of time what to say in each one of those areas, you're no longer a captain wing it. I teach you what to say. Once you execute what I taught you, you see that it works. So now you don't have any of that fear. And I just break the sales process down all the way. And that's really what you need to do to be in sales. Or you just have to have such a high level of a drive that you're just going to pick up the phone no matter what, and you don't care how many rejections you get, and you'll find that like a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. But when you sharpen your process and you get really good at selling, sure, you need the gift, the gift of gab. A lot of people say that's a big thing. But when you can combine that, when you know how to talk to people, when you combine it with a process that you're going to follow, man, the world's your oyster. Then that's when you start living like a rock star, because you're closing a lot of deals.
You know, that thing about the blind squirrel? Mm-hmm. I don't think it was a blind squirrel. I think it was a squirrel that had bad vision.
There you go.
And if you can get that squirrel to wear glasses and change his focus and change his direction, you will have a squirrel that can find a bunch of nuts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, it takes you have to check your ego at the door, though. That's the big thing. So let's go back to what I said early on with all these other sales reps and that my first straight commission job. Very few people would go to those top reps. They knew what they were doing. Yet, they're struggling to make 30 grand a year, right? As a straight commission sales rep, you have to check your ego out the door, and you have to realize that, I always want to take advice from people that have already achieved the level of success that I'm after.
Mm-hmm.
And I ignore the advice from people that are below that mark. It's just the way it is. And so when you, yeah.
Do you find that when you're talking to other people that have made a living on the phone, that the fish got bigger as they got older, or did they actually make the money that they were talking about?
Well, it depends on what your definition of making a living by phone. I mean, there's a lot, unfortunately, there's a lot of sales reps out there making, quote unquote, a living, right? They're living that paycheck to paycheck scenario, but are they achieving what they really, did they give up on their dreams? Did they just like, they're just happy to pay the bills, or are they really achieving, that extra level of success?
I think the phone requires a certain degree of focus and a certain degree of self-discipline.
And a discipline, yeah.
Because there's some days you just don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you walk in, you have your cubbyhole or your office or wherever you are. And if you don't make those phone calls, if you're, for example, if you're placing someone in a job and you're a quote, a headhunter, a lot of them work from home.
Mm-hmm.
But they're stealing from one person and giving to the other person. That's tough to deal with after a while.
Well, again, it goes back to one, what are your goals? What are your objectives? So there's a lot of things. I personally love what I'm doing, right? So
obvious.
I love helping people. I have a plan. I know it works, and I know it's going to help people. But let's say there's a lot of sales reps that are out there that they have to be in the position that they're in now, even though maybe they have other dreams. Maybe they want to start their own business one day. Maybe they want to do something else, but they're going to need the money to get there. Or maybe they can't because they got kids in college right now and they got to pay for all that stuff before they can get to the next thing. Well, if you have to work and you're in sales, you might as well be the best at it, even if this is not your final stopping place on the train stop, right? Mm-hmm. Got to improve that your ability to get better on there, because then you're going to make more in less time. With that being said, I think a lot of times where the phone gets hard is when you're not having enough wins. If you go fishing and every time you cast a net, if you don't catch a fish, you're not going to give up. But if you catch nice two or three size fish for the day, you're happy, right? So I look at sales a lot like fishing. So you don't have to win every phone call. You just have to win probably more than what you're winning now to reverse that from where the phone being heavy to where you don't mind picking it up.
I used to go fishing a lot with my former father-in-law, who's since passed on, but was a great fisherman. And his statement to me, he said, listen, just because you got him on the hook doesn't mean you can get him in the boat.
Mm.
You know what? You know what's funny with you saying that? One of the things I was just going to say is one of the traps and dangers that sales reps fall into, they think just because it's a warm lead, they can skip steps. Or they think that they're just going to be able to, you know, they could just build a relationship and try to have build some rapport. And they think that if they like me enough, they're going to buy me. Sure, nobody's going to buy something for somebody that they don't like. So that's a piece. You know, you should naturally be likable, but you need to, like you said, you got to close the deal.
Mm-hmm. You got to put them in the net. You got to take them off the hook. There's all kinds of things. You got to put them in the well. I've seen fish jump out of the boat, and they don't jump in the boat. But they can jump out of the boat. And you have to be if you're a salesperson, you have to get the contract signed and the person commit to take delivery for whatever it is. And if you skip steps like filling out the order form properly or gaining the commitment, then you have what's known as buyer's remorse set in. And on the phone, that's the easiest place to get buyer's remorse, I think.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the biggest problems that most sales reps have, I'll give you a little tip right here. So one of the biggest mistakes a sales rep will make on the phone, especially if they're using like LinkedIn, all that, which I love and I use all the time, they'll look at somebody and they'll assume they're a decision maker based on the title.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so what ends up happening is they will go ahead and when they go for the close, or let me back up for a second, they'll just go something like this. Well, are you the person in charge of making decisions? The guy goes, yeah, I am. Great. Check mark. I got decision maker. That's what he thinks. And then so he moves forward and he gets to the end. He tries to go for a close and he goes, well, I got to check with so-and-so. And now the dude's like, or he or she is caught like a deer in headlights because it's only one of two things. It's either they're lying or telling the truth, right? So if they're telling the truth, the person assumed they're a decision maker because they only asked one question. They didn't do a follow-up question that I like to ask. I'll get to it in a second for you. Right. Or what will end up happening is they're lying. And because you missed problem recognition or there was something that they didn't like and you're never going to get them on the phone again. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the problem of assuming that they are the decision maker based on their title. So for me, if I'm calling somebody and I'm in the middle of my qualifying process to avoid that scenario, I simply go like this. So Jeff, let's role play for a second. So Jeff, say yes to this. Okay. Jeff. So other than yourself, who else is involved in the decision making process?
Me, I swear to God. No, me.
I know.
You, nobody else. Listen. No. Okay, sometimes I'll talk to my partner.
Okay. So let me ask you a sentence. So let's do this then. Assume for a moment you end up really liking what it is we have to offer. And let's say you decide you want to move forward with it.
Yes.
What happens next? Where do we go from there?
Well, next I would probably tell my partner what we're doing and she would either agree with it or disagree with it.
All right, cool. I mean, is this something that she knows you're looking into or are you just kind of, you know, blindsided or taking the bull by the horns a little bit?
She doesn't know yet. I haven't told her.
All right, so let's hit the pause button now. So watch, look what happened. One, we're having a normal conversation. That's how I do it right on the phone. But if a salesperson just says, are you the person in charge of the decision-making process? And they go, yes, I am. They go, great. And they move forward. Mm-hmm. Well, by me, I run the fast forward technique. That's what I called it. Right. I go, so just assume for a moment, Jeff, that because notice I haven't told you about it yet. I'm qualifying you before we do the presentation. That's why I said, so Jeff, assume for a moment that you end up liking what is it we have to offer. And let's say you decide you want to move forward with it. You know, what happens next? Where do we go from there? And look at how you just opened up and shared everything.
I have a technique I'll share my technique with you. I ask people, how will the decision be made?
Perfect.
And well, it's not quite done.
I understand.
They say, well, we have a group of people to get together and we pick the, you know, who we want as a supplier. And I go, oh, great. Then what? I ask, then what?
Absolutely.
Well, then we go to the CFO because anything over $25,000, we have to get their approval. I go, oh, wow, that's great. Then what? Well, anything over $50,000, we have to go to the – so they're not the decision maker. They can't buy toilet paper without asking their daddy.
Now the question is this. Can you close a deal without speaking to the ultimate decision maker?
And the answer is maybe.
That's right.
Depends.
Yeah, it depends.
But notice what I did there is I asked – so when you mentioned you had another partner, I go, so just out of curiosity, do they know that you're looking at us? Or are you just kind of taking the bull by the horns and blind sign them a little bit? Right. So now I'm getting a sense of what's really going on there.
Right. You're getting a sense that Jennifer makes all the decisions and I don't do shit. That's the sense that you're getting, correct?
This is what salespeople, they need to be notice how I'm taking it step by step, because I look at sales like a lot like a game of chess or a game of checkers, where I can see all the potential moves ahead of time. And based on what I do first will influence on what happens next. Mm-hmm. But it's also like an organizational chart. Like when I asked you that question, I knew that there's only two paths you can go down. And mm-hmm. I don't care which it is. It's either you're going to confirm you really are top of the totem pole, you can pull the trigger, or you're going to have somebody else involved. And then so I don't care how you answer. Notice I'm not pulling an answer. I didn't do the stupid 1970s sales things like, so Jeff, if you really want this, you can make the decision. Am I right? See, that's called pulling an answer. I didn't do that. Because even if he says yes, but it's really no, I'm screwed later on when I go for a close.
Yeah.
It's so funny how the old sales pitch will always enter into the process.
And it just sounds so sleazy. That's where sales gets a bad
name. Are you looking
name.
For a new car today? Did you want to lease or buy today? Do you have a budget today? Do you have a trade-in today? If it wasn't for the word today, car salespeople couldn't talk.
And well, what's ironic is I got my start in car sales way back in the day.
Wow.
Cool.
That is ironic.
When you're on the phone, you can't see the other person unless you Zoom or use Skype. Yeah. Do you recommend that now?
No, I don't care either way. So I tune my ears. Is what it is. So I have a saying that 2 + 2 has to equal 4. So when I ask you a question, it's going to do a sales rep no good to ask the best sales question in the world if they're not listening to the way the prospect answers. I don't care if you're face to face or over the phone. So my the way I help my students remember this is 2 + 2 has to equal 4. So when you ask a question, did their tone match their words? That's the 2 + 2. Did tone match their words? If I'm asking a question and I get a lukewarm answer, I can't go forward. I got to hit the pause button. I got to investigate that. If I got a green light, great. Checkbox. We'll go to the next step. Or if it's a red light, we got to deal with it. So I don't care if it's over the phone, face to face, or Zoom. Ironically, my sales process works whether it's face to face or over the phone. It's the same process.
I like to ask qualifying questions along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that way for sure. I can get a feel for if they like it or they don't like it. Mm-hmm. But I do it in a way that starts with the words, tell me about it. Like, tell me about your experience with this. And they'll go into it either positively or negatively. And then I know where to go from there. But
you have a map in your head that has different roads and different directions. See, but that's what most salespeople are missing. They hear that you have to build rapport and get them to like you, and they spend all their time trying to be likable, and then they stop. They're forgetting that they have to pepper in the questions to get the conversation, continue the conversation, get them out. They have to understand there's a reason why they're also there to build a relationship and be likable. They have to find out if this person meets the needs and they're qualified so that they can do business down the road or right then and there.
Why do you think that's missed so often?
Because there's very few people that know how to do it right. That's just the bottom line. It's just the way it is.
And did that come from practice or from training or from both?
It's a very good question. Mine came. I can only answer for me. And I hate to lose, man. I don't care if it's a family game night. We're playing Monopoly, or it's a big deal. I hate to lose, and if I'm not winning on the phone. I learned a long time ago never to place blame on the economy, the leads, your competitors, whatever. I always say to myself, what am I doing wrong? Where do I need to fix this? And then I would find somebody that's already successful at this and is being better at it, and I'm going to interview them. I'm going to find out what they're doing differently. And then I'm going to see how I can work it into my scenario. And I'm just going to keep tweaking it until I got it right. So to answer that question, you have to want to be able to win. You have to have that deep desire. No matter what you're doing, because sales can be a tough game. But I think a lot of salespeople make it tougher on themselves. But then you have to, it goes back to not looking for that easy button, just going, well, see, this article said cold calling is dead, or, picking up the phone is dead, or whatever. And you're just sitting around waiting for, you're going to send out a bunch of emails and hoping that you're going to, make quota. It's just not going to happen.
That was an amazing interview.
That was unbelievable. Where the hell was it? It was in the archives, but iTunes forgot to leave it up, and now it's up, and now... But where should our diehards go right now?
All right. If you want more, go to Facebook and search for the Seller Diehards official Facebook group. Or if you really want to get involved in the community, you can go to 2020, the numbers, 2020salesvision.com, and sign up for the waitlist to get into the 2020 Sales Vision group.
And speaking of 20, your investment will be 20 bucks.
That's right. It's 20 bucks a month. 20 bucks a month.
Live answers, interactions. It's unbelievable. Go there. Do it now.
It is so much fun. I love it. All right, guys. Peace out. Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.